This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. There are many ways to change your community, but for Venezuelan Jose Abreu, the best way was through music. He created El Sistema. It's a program that offers access to classical music training for all children. And through ensemble work, those children don't just learn musical skills. The hope is that they will gain community and self-esteem. And the idea has spread far beyond Venezuela. A local program based on El Sistema serves kids in the Durham and Raleigh area. It's called Kids Notes. Katie Wyatt's executive director of Kids Notes, and she joins us today. Katie, welcome. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Also, we're joined by instructor Oakley Lyon and two Kids Notes participants. Marcus G. is 10 years old. He goes to E.K. Poe Elementary School. He plays the cello. Marcus, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Haida Ortiz, 12 years old. She goes to Brogdon. Is it Brogdon? What is that
Brogdon.
School? It is Brogdon Middle School, and she plays the flute. Haida, step right up here. Welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
Well, Katie, tell us about the theory behind El Sistema.
So Kids Notes is inspired by El Sistema, and the idea is that music has the power to level the playing field for access to opportunity for all people. So we've started in 2010 in Durham, and Kids Notes has now expanded to serve Durham and Raleigh. We've got 250 kids, grades K through 7th grade, enrolled in classical music training every day after school and on Saturdays.
Tell us again about El Sistema and how that system works, because it goes back decades, right?
It does.
In Venezuela. Uh-huh.
El Sistema started in the 1970s with Jose Abreu, with just 11 kids in a parking garage. And he had the idea to solve the problem of poverty in his country and thought that he could best do that through a training program to encourage young people, no matter their social or economic circumstances, to develop discipline, a full character, passion for life, caring about something that's bigger than themselves, and creating something beautiful to contribute to the world. And then, of course, all of the research that has shown that learning a musical instrument, particularly starting at a very young age, develops a child's brain, allows for character and social development over time, and really sets up a person well to be a positive citizen in this world.
Nice theory. Oh, and it kind of worked, right? I mean, it's huge in Venezuela. There's giant orchestras, right?
Absolutely. So we have about 300,000 kids in the El Sistema program now in Venezuela. And since the 1970s, over the course of 30 years, over 2 million children worldwide have graduated through El Sistema programs. El Sistema is now all over the United States, as well as in Canada, all over Latin and South America, Europe, Japan. It's been an incredible international movement of music for social change.
And it's right here in Durham. Marcus, you're here with your cello. And so tell us how you got involved in this. And maybe my first question to you is, how long have you been playing the cello?
Well, I've been playing cello since third grade, since I was done with the violin, and then I wanted to switch to another instrument. And then I was like, maybe I could rock on this and stuff instead of the other instrument. But I'm saying, yeah, it's kind of good and stuff.
Kind of good and stuff. Well, how is it when you're, because it's one thing to be playing the violin or then to switch to the cello, right, by yourself. But you're playing in a group, in a fairly large group. What's it like to play with all these other, students in a group and actually be working toward playing classical music?
It feels good. And stuff, like, every time when we play our music and stuff, it feels right. Like, the whole symphony is in shape, the whole song is in shape, all places are in shape.
That's great. Haida, let me ask you a question. The first one's an easy one. How long have you been playing the flute?
I've been playing the flute since sixth grade, and it's been 2 years.
Right. And how did you find out about Kids Notes?
I don't really know, but my brother was the first one.
So you heard him playing, and it was either tell him to be quiet and leave or learn how to play the flute yourself, right?
Yes.
So you got back at him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice job. Well, it sounds great. Well, I want you to tell us a little bit about the music as well. Oakley, maybe if you can find a spot right there. Tell us about this, because it is a little bit of a different model. We talked about private lessons. That's one thing. And then getting kids to play in groups. That's another. How does it work? How does the Kids Notes model work?
Yeah. So when at the beginning of the year, all the kids start in one big group. We do sectionals on 2 days a week, and then ensembles the other two. And then as the year progresses, we find out, you know, what kids are progressing, how well they're doing, and then we kind of divvy them off. You know, we have a couple different groups. We have an all-star string ensemble, so some of our kids that are progressing more advanced than the other kids, they'll go to that. We also have a group that plays, that has a jazz band, and that's directed by Al Strong. And so we got a group, I believe Marcus is in both, correct?
Yep.
And so, and Haida did jazz band for a little while and discontinued that. But then we also have a flute trio. So we have two other flute players at Kids Notes, and they do that, and fantastic job. And so as the kids progress through the year, then we start creating different ensembles that the kids can adapt to.
Do you work toward a symphony? Do you try to get a full symphony?
Absolutely, yeah. We do have a full symphony, and that's where all the kids start with. On Mondays and Fridays and Saturdays, they do symphony orchestra, and then they even have the opportunity to do side-by-side concerts with Durham Symphony Orchestra and Duke Chamber Ensemble and stuff like that. So,
and the idea behind El Sistema is that there's always something to shoot for. So all of the kids always have a progressively better and better ensemble to be able to aspire to be these great musicians as they move up in our system, which is what El Sistema means, of orchestras.
You have a story, Katie, about how you discovered El Sistema.
It was an amazing experience. So I am a violist, and I had been performing with the New World Symphony in Miami and was invited as a traveling musician with an orchestra called the Youth Orchestra of the Americas, which was a cultural exchange program for young leaders and musicians from the United States to travel to Venezuela. So I arrived thinking that I was just going to play in this great international orchestra. We landed in Venezuela and began rehearsals, and we had to re-audition for seats. I was 25 at the time and thought I was a real hot shot and that I would be principal viola for sure. And after the audition, we went to the board the next day to look at where we had been placed. And lo and behold, I had been beaten by a 16-year-old Venezuelan girl. Not knowing much about El Sistema at the time or about Venezuela, I assumed that this girl was from some oil families or that she was an ambassador's child and had had a life of privilege that I had not experienced as a young girl growing up in public school in a military family, just taking normal viola classes at school. So when I learned that she grew up in El Sistema and had actually grown up in a life of poverty and had really struggled to be where she was today, I was floored by the idea that music could level the playing field for she and I to be able to have access to the same opportunities, despite the fact that our economic backgrounds were very different.
So if you're going to have a meritocracy, everybody's got to have access.
That's right.
That's the key. And if you cut off access at any stage in the game, you can't really talk about merit anymore.
And right. When you start young, everybody's got potential.
So and so you're working your way up. When you play, what's the difference between this and, say, high school band or the school music programs, for instance?
So I think actually it's very similar, and Kids Notes really supports the public school music education program. We work hand in hand with the music teachers at each of our elementary school partners in Durham and Wake County. And we really see Kids Notes as the and in a kid's life, so that they're playing in their school orchestra and they're playing in Kids Notes and they're playing in the regional youth orchestra and they're playing in summer camp and they're winning solo and ensemble competitions, so that we're really creating a life of access and opportunity and of a full artistic expression that families who are from different economic backgrounds can purchase and afford for their kids.
Well, look, we've got Marcus and Haida here with their flute and their cello, and you are here with your viola. Perhaps you could play something for us, hey?
We'd love to. This is an arrangement of Jupiter from Holst's The Planets.
Thank you.
Marcus G. on the cello, Oakley Lyon and Heda Ortiz on the flute, Katie Wyatt on the viola playing a little piece of Jupiter by Gustav Holst. Okay, Marcus, so here's a question for you. If you were on the planet Jupiter and you were playing that piece of music, tell me what would happen. Your audience would be looking at you, but they wouldn't be hearing you. Why not?
Because there are no speakers and...
That's not a bad answer. That's your answer. Okay, Heda, why would your audience on Jupiter not be hearing you if you were playing for them on Jupiter?
There's no sound in space.
That's right, and that is because there's not enough atmosphere on Jupiter. There's a little bit of hydrogen, but it kind of goes off into space. And so, therefore, your sound wouldn't travel to the ears of your listeners. That's Frank Skid's question for the day, and you've done quite well. Let me ask you something, Marcus. How long did it take you to learn that piece?
Let's just say the first day when I got the piece, I think it was somewhere in September or November, and it was quite easy at first, but a few times it got a little bit harder, but then I got back and it got easier.
Well, that's great. That's very good. Katie, obviously you're not working them hard enough. This stuff is too easy.
Too easy.
Let's get yourself up. Let me ask you something, Heda. So it's one thing to learn all the notes, right, and you get them right. And by the way, both of you, that was beautiful. So nicely done. It was gorgeous. So once you learn the notes, are you listening for something? Are you listening for technique and how you want your flute to sound?
Yes.
You practice that, and how do you know? How do you know things? Do you have the feeling, oh, that's better. That was a better way to make that note sound. Can you hear it?
Yes.
That's very cool. Well, you know, part of it, you got a big gala coming up, and I know that's part of it. And the theme at the gala is Renaissance. So obviously giant turkey legs. Looking forward to that. But you're also, there's a book involved in this, and that was part of the theme. The reason that the Renaissance theme came to life was the children's book. And we have the author and illustrator here, Julie Fortenberry, who wrote a book. Julie, tell us about, well, first of all, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us about your book.
Well, it's the story of a little artist, and she paints a picture of a king, and he doesn't consider it complimentary at all. And it angers him, and he punishes her by turning her picture into a dunce cap. He rolls it up and puts it on her head, and she's very humiliated. And it's about her trip back from this humiliation. She takes the cap and decorates it, and then all the town wants to wear this cap. And the king sees it, and then he is humiliated once again. And he continues into town to banish everyone. And instead, he's left alone in the town square.
And I understand the inspiration for this story came to you because of an apocryphal story about World War II.
Well, my husband told me a story about the Danes during World War II, that they all elected to wear the yellow star so as to make the Nazi rules unenforceable. But it turns out it's a myth. But I use that story as a seed for the artist and the king. So that I wanted to write a story about how people could work together to undermine the power of a tyrant. And so I set about making it kid-friendly. The stars turned into hats, and then there's a lot of humor in the story.
And the story is The Artist and the King. Had you written children's books before?
I have never written them. I've only illustrated them.
So this is a first view. And also the fact that it's published locally as well, right?
Yes, just up the road from me at Alizar Press.
That's very cool. It's a beautiful book and a great story. And so, Katie, I'll come back to you. I mean, the theme of this story is the power of the transformative power of art. And I guess maybe that's one of the themes in Kids Notes as well.
Absolutely. So Kids Notes and The Artist and the King definitely believe in the theme of long live the artist, long live the music. It's about changing kids' lives and giving them access and their own opportunities through their instruments to seize their own futures. And the gala, we're raising money for Kids Notes. It's presented by Seventh Generation Ventures, and Rosemarie and Joe Gulla are our co-chairs, and they are also the owners of Alizar Press, the publishing company for The Artist and the King. And we're also joined by honorary co-chairs Reverend Luke and Gail Powery from Duke University, and Reverend Powery will be giving the blessing this Thursday night at the Durham Convention Center as we raise money for Kids Notes.
You've been at this for about 4 years now. Sent any kids to Carnegie Hall yet? Where are they now?
We are close. We have students. We have students in Durham School for the Arts, which we're really stoked about. And then also, we're very excited to be hosting the East Coast Seminario on May 2nd and 3rd. About 100 of our kids are going to join about 200 other kids from El Sistema programs up and down the East Coast at the Holton Career and Resource Center in East Durham for three giant 100-piece orchestras of kids from El Sistema programs from all up and down the East Coast, from as far south as Miami to as far north as Pennsylvania.
Keep up the good work. And Haida and Marcus, great job. Thank you for being here today. And I'm so happy I could get you out of school. Good to talk with you. Katie Wyatt, Executive Director of Kids Notes. She plays viola. Oakley Lyon, their instructor, plays the flute. Julie Fortenberry, the author and illustrator of The Artist and the King. Kids Notes Gala Thursday at 6 o'clock, Durham Convention Center. That's our program. You can find out more and information about that as well as at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Mataferi, and Anita Rao. This is North Carolina Public Radio. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is the news director. And we are a broadcast service, in fact, of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio.